Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men TV. It is Tuesday. That means one thing. It is podcast time. I'm your host, Ross Chanley. Paul and Chris are still... No, they're on the way back from Canada. And Steve is dying of COVID. So send some love to Steve in the comments. Be very much appreciated. I am, however, joined by Adam Rowe and Jimmy Cully for this one. I completely forgot your name then.
So give me Twitter handle.
Yeah, we'll
Twitter
handle.
Do you have your full name?
At Jimmy Cundle, yeah. Before we get to some kickoff questions, I'm going to talk about the season so far, whether people are happy with it, whether people's heads have fallen off, or whether people have calmed down. We're going to do a little chat on Gerrard to Villa and then just tie in some of the Premier League sackings over the past week or so. Adam has been a very busy man over the past... Well, you're always busy, I suppose, aren't you? I was going to say the past few weeks, but then I thought, no, actually, you're always busy.
Yeah, it's been a chocker few months. Tours got on sale, sold just an absurd amount of tickets immediately. Like, I've toured before, but it's never been like this, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's all down to the fact that the podcast I started to have a word a couple of years ago was, last year, is just doing well, and the fans are insane. So as soon as they went on sale, they've bought loads of them, and like, it looks like we're going to have to add a second day to the Philharmonic Hall in Liverpool, which is just a ridiculous sentence to be saying out loud. Yeah, it's been a mad couple of weeks. And then...
I might get tickets for that one. Because I'm a dickhead, so I got drunk, went to order tickets and didn't read the ticket properly, so now I'm going to Sandbach. And they won't let me fucking refund it. I'm not paying you twice. And also, just, you mentioned Have a Word pod there. If people haven't seen it, firstly, we recommend it loads. It's fucking amazing. It's hilarious. But you had a special guest on. You always have special guests on, but like...
We tend to have a lot of comedians on. We've had a few people on, like Paul and Chris did an episode with us. We've had, you know, rappers on. We've had people who aren't necessarily comedians on, but this week we had Jimmy Carr on, and it's a really interesting episode. The first half is a really interesting chat with Jimmy about his approach to comedy, and the second half is just the usual bullshit that we've built our brand on.
And where can people find that?
YouTube.com/haveawordpod, or just search Have a Word with Adam Rowe, Dan Nightingale on any podcast.
Or become a patron. One of thousands of patrons. Go and join up there.
Closing in on 7,000 of those lunatics now.
Me 7,001. Go check it out. Right then, some kickoff questions before we start the actual topics. Gareth Robinson, one of our club legends in the Discord, said, if due to some error, we were forced to move to a new stadium for a year, like Spurs-esque, where you could teleport any stadium to Stanley Park, which we could use for one season, which stadium would you pick?
Does it have to be a Premier League one?
It can be whatever you want, Adam.
I mean, it's a weird question.
Yeah, that's what they come with.
Because like, in terms of like, oh, you want it to be an incredible atmosphere. So do we get the atmosphere of any stadium we bring? I'm sorry to be asking questions about the question.
So you ask away. Yes.
Well, actually, no, because you're putting Liverpool fans in that stadium, so it'll be better than the atmosphere anyway. Yeah, you wouldn't get the Etihad. Just the building and the facilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
Basically, what's your favourite stadium? I suppose is the easy way of asking this fucking
question. Well, I was going to say Boca Juniors stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, so but you want the atmosphere to go with that as well?
Yeah. You just want the absolute carnage that brings. I think if you're going for a British stadium that we're going to fill with Liverpool fans and give it that atmosphere, Tottenham's new ground is
the one.
If we can have that.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to watch the NFL there. The single tier stand is just crazy. There isn't a bad seat in the ground view-wise. I think that's the best stadium in the UK.
So you go Boca Juniors or the Spurs Stadium?
Yeah, one of those two.
Choices.
It's different ends of the scale. I like it.
Yeah.
Like the Maracanã. Because it's, it's one of the biggest.
Yeah.
So lots of people that can't get tickets will get tickets.
Yeah.
Dortmund, because I'd love to see all Kappites on that yellow wall just for that. I mean, I know it's not the biggest stadium in the world, but filling that wall would be incredible. Yeah. So they'd be my two. But yeah, I think facilities-wise, you've got to look at Spurs, haven't you? Getting a pint within, what, 5 seconds?
Oh, is that when they put the thing down and shoots up? Okay, yes,
well,
so I'm down
to
for
be fair, Anfield does have them, but slow as anything.
Yeah, I don't know if this is nostalgia, but I'd probably go the San Siro because...
Oh, defo. Love that.
But it's getting knocked down soon.
That's
so
for me,
chances to go are pretty limited. But also, like, to your point, would you get the same atmosphere? I'm not sure what it's like anymore. It's a bit... You don't want Italians throwing plastic seats at you, do you, really?
Ideally not, no. that can ruin a Tuesday.
Let us know your thoughts. Which stadium would you move to Stanley Park for one season if you could? And Matty, our intern, this is another difficult one, who literally pointed at me this morning, went, you best ask me a question. So I am doing. He said, you have to pick one of these to play every game for Liverpool this season. Kyriakos, Paulson or David Ngog?
Every game.
One of them has to play every game. Which one are you picking?
Kyriakos.
Why?
Because... Well, first of all...
Our defence has fallen apart already, Adam.
Yeah, but he's the least shit of those three at his job. And next to Van Dijk, I'm pretty sure we could get away with playing me. Like, I personally think the reason Liverpool's defence is struggling at the minute is because we're getting overrun in midfield. I don't think it's anything to do with the back line at all. I think the physicality we've lost in letting Gini Wijnaldum go is just... that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's very easy to go, Liverpool are conceding goals, there must be something wrong with the defence. I think that shows quite the understanding in how football works, to be honest with you.
No, 100% agree. We spoke about that yesterday in the final word. I'm going to do that a little bit later on as well. Jay?
I was going to say Ngog just for his Man United goal. But yeah, and the fact that fell.
Put it this way, Origi's better than Ngog.
That's what
and
I mean.
If we had to play Origi every game, I'd be worried about that.
But Adam's spot on. When the sentence he said was, he's the least shit at his job.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely doing that.
Yeah.
Paulson is not stopping anybody in that fucking midfield. Oh. So yeah, you've got to go with the big Greek. And to be fair,
I feel sick inside.
And do you know
what? Wasn't that bad.
I was just about to say, towards the end of his little time at Liverpool, he became a little bit of a cult hero, especially his performance against QPR when him and Quatez were.
And he's got a great teammate there now as well that doesn't play.
Yes, yeah.
It's fine, we'll move on to that later on.
You're going to start with him as well.
Okay, sad. And the final question from Andrew JB. He says, you wake up tomorrow and Florentino Perez's latest idea to make the dying entity of football appeal to younger audiences is that every team has to replace one starter with an animal. For the Liverpool game against Arsenal, what animal are you feeling? whose place is it taking?
Jesus Christ, that's like the...
I probably should have given you
that's like the icebreaker question of, what animal would you be and why? You know, it's like the most generic interview question.
Ask it like that?
It goes to like a year two class to ask these questions.
Twitter, Adam, yeah. That's what Twitter is.
And this is a lovely rainbow who's been sent in by the guy who wrote questions.
In crayon.
I think you've got to have an animal you can control.
Can you control an animal, Adam? What's the question?
You can. You can train a dog. You can't train a lion, really. Like, the instinct...
You're scared of stools and all the things
my
I
wife.
Like to see.
the instinct is to go for, like, a wild animal.
Yeah.
But then it's just going to go after our players as well, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a downside to that, isn't there?
I think you want a Rottweiler, a well-trained Rottweiler to play defensive midfield.
A Mascherano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mascherano. I used to liken him to a dog.
Yeah.
He was just like a dog with a bone, he wouldn't let it go, would he? Yeah. So, yeah.
Not Luis Suarez, because he'd eat people, wouldn't he? Which players are you placing now? Are you putting Rottweiler in place of?
The gap that we've
in
got.
Midfield.
That's
a solution to our midfield problems. Yeah. Fucking Rottweiler.
The gap we've got in midfield.
Okay, sound. Let us know your thoughts on any of those questions.
Hang on. Okay. No. What am I doing?
Oh.
Let's put a whale in goal.
Yeah.
Fill it.
Yeah.
Fill the goal.
That's the answer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It'd be good on set pieces against West Ham, wouldn't it?
Bonnie
couldn't have jumped past a whale, yeah. Any type of whale? Just a big one.
A big
a
blue
big fuck
whale.
Up
blue.
Whale. Yeah.
A blue whale. And then we said a great white.
Great whale, yeah. Okay, sound. Yeah, some random questions there, some random answers. Trick Josh has been a club member for 17 months, or cult hero for 17 months, sorry. Says to move to another stadium internationally, I moved to the AT&T Stadium. It's where the Dallas Cowboys play. Nationally, I agree, it has to be Tottenham Stadium. Connor S with $8 Australian says, I'd be quite happy with both quality of opposition. We need more clean sheets, sadly. Yeah, we're going to move on to that. Talking about Liverpool season so far. Bought over on Redmen Plus at theredmentv.com. It's a free month. So we're giving you a free month to access to all our content that's on video and for podcasts. Get access to a whole host of interviews, documentaries, and all the content that we do on a weekly basis. So you want to give it a try, so you get a feel for it, see if you like it or not. Enter the code REDMENPLUS. Here's Paul with a little advert to tell you a little bit more about that.
Hey everyone, I just want to get you up to speed with what is going on here at Red Men HQ. We have had a massive, huge, ginormous revamp of what we do. Our streaming platform is now known as Red Men Plus. Amazing shows, interviews, documentaries and features covering every angle of Liverpool Football Club. Here is what you're going to get on Red Men Plus.
People are emotionally attached to Ollie and they want to give him more time, and that's their prerogative. We should be challenging for the league this year, and if he doesn't, he's got to go.
What do the other side of it think? That's like in Crespo's brilliant in the book. It's like, we all know what we think of Istanbul. What does AC Milan think?
Man United, nil. Liverpool, not one.
No.
Not two.
Not two.
Not three.
Not even three.
Not four.
Couldn't believe it wasn't just four.
Five.
Five.
No.
Conte, obviously, he is the dream, but I slightly agree with you in the sense of, like, I'm not sure he's going to look at a 19th place Newcastle, regardless of all the money, and say, I'm going to go at that job.
Just lastly on Alisson, because I have to ask, and I'm sure it's the thing you get asked most about.
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah.
The header.
Yeah. That was nice. Yeah.
Someone forces you to trade three of Liverpool's starting 11 for three of Manchester United's starting 11 for the game at the weekend.
What this is the Club Legends Show. It's for the legends, by the legends.
And then all of a sudden, he's opened a little space to accelerate into, and then again he pulls it back. It's as good as anything I've ever seen a footballer do. Redmen reacts. Liverpool have signed a centre-half. Ibrahim Konaté has joined from RB Leipzig.
This is going to be a weekly show looking back in an analytical way at Liverpool's last couple of fixtures with some of the best minds in the business.
He's going to be the highest paid player the club's ever had, if and when. I think he will sign the contract. I'm consistently saying that.
So this is John Henderson's documentary, right? No, we have to say the truth, huh? So let me say it like this.
A new era has begun in Liverpool FC streaming content. Welcome to Red Men Plus.
Yes, welcome back. You can get your free month now. Use the code REDMENPLUS. You can get that in video, as I said before, downloadable to your native podcast app on the go. When you sign up, you'll get an email with a link to how to do that. So, get yourself involved. Make sure you don't have to go and watch England play shitty football because it's really boring. You watch our amazing documentaries instead. We are here to talk about Liverpool season so far. We're going to pick apart some of the best bits and some of the things we may not be happy with, Adam. I'm going to start with which player who isn't called Mohamed Salah has impressed you the most so far?
I don't think he covered himself in glory today. I think Alisson's been really good. I think Matip, again, I don't think he had a great game against West Ham, but I think we had a very off day against West Ham. There's been a few. Trent's been back up near his best. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick a standout that isn't Mohamed Salah.
Yeah,
it really, really is, because I think everyone else has had their good and bad games.
On Joel Matip, though, are you surprised the amount of football that he's played? And I mean,
surprised the amount of football he's been fit to play.
Yeah.
I think Matip is Klopp's first choice.
Yeah,
I think that's, like, for years been the case. I think Virgil van Dijk's first choice partner is Joe Gomez.
Okay.
I think Klopp's first choice partner for van Dijk is Joel Matip.
Yeah.
And then Konaté's been brought in, and obviously he's going to play some football because we've spent money on him, and we don't tend to do that with players. So he's going to get game time as well. I'm surprised how fit Matip's been able to stay, which is sad, because that just shows how bad things have been in the past. I think Matip will play as much football as he is fit for.
Yeah.
Under Jurgen Klopp. I think Klopp sees him as a not too far away from Van Dijk's quality.
Yeah. And it's mad, isn't it, Jake? Because I've been pleasantly surprised the amount of football he's been available for, because, like Adam said there, you've got Joe Gomez has kind of been on the fringe. I think he's got a calf injury now again. But then Konate, as Adam mentioned, you've got the ability to manage Matip, where it obviously wasn't the case last season because of all the injuries. But that's why we spent £36 million on someone who can come in. I think we all shit ourselves a little bit when he went off at half-time at Preston and gone, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the time. I mean, Matip's injured now. It's like, actually, no, we're playing him 45 minutes. Keep him fit and then keep him going.
Yeah. Again, you just hit the nail on the head, mate. Compared to last year, you know, take this all day. This is Christmas for us, isn't it, in terms of centre-halves and how fit.
But now it's midfield, so set that on fire.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's such a nice thing to have fit centre-halves and being able to see that Matip, whatever he's doing in terms of rehab from last year when he was injured, to like, is the science behind it. I'm always interested in that, because I think if a player that has been in and out of the side and he's been injured and now he's on this run of games, we've all expected Matip to sort of like, right, he's played three, now he'll miss the fourth one. We were all expecting that. It's not happening. So, touch wood, right now it's going well and I'm happy with it. But I think it's just great that we've signed a £36 million centre-half and he's playing the odd game. I just think that's a good thing for us. It's a nice headache to have.
Yeah.
But they're also, the getting games where you just think, well, if he comes in, he does a job. Sound? Yeah. Because you're not worried about it anymore. It's like when Phillips plays now in like a Carling Cup game. How old am I?
Yeah.
You can't, aren't you? Because he's had that experience.
Yeah. I think the most important thing that having enough fit centre-halves gives us is Fabinho in midfield.
Yeah.
I think obviously there's problems in midfield at the minute that can't all be solved by Fabinho, although he does a very good job of trying.
But the bigger problem is when he's not playing.
The bigger problem is when he's not playing. But even when he's playing at the minute, the rest of the midfield, there's just something not quite right. And I think that's because the players are in and out of fitness and they're in and out of game time. And there's no consistent there, our best three. But Fabinho being back in midfield is just as important as having people who actually know how to play centre-back properly.
Yeah, 100%. But in fact, let's do the midfield. Someone's got a question about Fabinho, which we'll get to in a second. But on that, you mentioned before, Adam, like the midfield's been the issue. And a lot of people over the weekend, obviously tracking runners and working hard and the work rate that you get, I think there's probably just... Chamberlain's not up to scratch. You're missing Keita, who's playing in and out. Thiago's been in and out. Obviously, we're missing Harvey Elliott, who's, you know, instrumental for the, you know, the first four or five games of the season. But the name that's been mentioned the most, and I'm always hesitant to go back to things that you've had, you know, fucking like Coutinho still does the rounds now, and I've actually scheduled a tweet for 2035 saying, would you have Coutinho back? Because people will still be asking it. It's Gini Wijnaldum, and it's not the sense of like he got so much shit for all the, like he wasn't scoring loads of goals, he wasn't getting loads of assists, he wasn't doing the fancy stuff, but everyone who did support him and did like him were like, his work rate off the ball is what he offers to cut out and support the fullbacks, which is part of the thing that I think we're missing when there's like a Chamberlain or someone in that midfield.
100%. Like, I was a huge fan of Gini Wijnaldum. I was devastated when we let him go, and I just never understood it. I don't know what the idea was, because as you say, the biggest critics of Wijnaldum seem to be, oh, he doesn't score enough goals. You've got to not understand football to be criticising him in that way, because he's obviously capable of scoring goals, because he does it every time he goes on international break. He's such a utility player. He can play in several different positions and several different systems. He can play attack and mid for the Netherlands and he'll score twice on international duty and come back. And then he does the job that he does for Liverpool. It's not that he couldn't score. He wasn't asked to.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to score goals. He wasn't trying to break the lines. He was there to help Andy Robertson get the assists he gets. That's what he was there for, to recycle the ball. He's a water carrier for Liverpool. And he'd done it better than anyone else on the planet.
Yeah.
And we've gone... What I don't understand about it is like, oh, well, he wanted 170 grand a week and, you know, he's getting on. It's like, yeah, but maybe someone better educated on the inner workings of football, like Sam Maguire, will be able to explain this to me. Sam's obviously a big Liverpool analyst on Twitter and social media and stuff, and I love reading his stuff, and he often answers questions that I can't answer myself.
Yeah.
And one I'd like to know is, when Wijnaldum goes on 170 grand a week, right, if you're going to get someone who can do that job as good or nearly as good or half as good as him just to replace him, you're going to have to pay that person 80 grand a week anyway, or 90, or whatever the going rate is for the Premier League midfielder at the minute. And on top of that, you're going to have to pay 30 to 40 million to get them in.
Yeah.
So isn't it better to spend the extra 80 grand a week on Gini Wijnaldum for 3 years and let him do that job rather than going, well, we'll buy a player and pay them half? Because I don't get the economics of it.
No.
I don't understand the thing. And I know it's how the wage structure and other players will want it.
It's not risk reward, though, is it? Because we're seeing the consequences now of not doing that.
It's absolutely baffled me. Like, Liverpool Football Club has made a lot of brilliant decisions in the transfer market and buying and replacing players. And at the start of the season, when every midfielder was fit, it looked like we were going to get away with it. Yeah. And it looked like the plan was always, well, Harvey Elliott's going to play 30 games this year. So we don't need to replace Wijnaldum, because then where does Elliott get his games? But as soon as all these injuries mount up and you realise that Thiago's never played more than 30 games in his career in a single season, and you realise that Fabinho always misses 10 games and Henderson can be out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time and then he's back for a bit. Let's not even start, because I'd love Naby Keita to succeed at Liverpool. I've always been a huge fan of him, and he's got the same thing for me that Moreno had. You want him to do well for some reason. Like, there's some players...
Like, a lovable rogue, isn't he?
Like, you mentioned Poulsen before. Yeah. He was doomed before he kicked the ball for Liverpool. Yeah. No one wanted him. And it was always like, oh, this guy. Naby Keita and Alberto Moreno have always been like, I really hope he's able to
become... Seems a nice guy.
Yeah. You want them to do well. You've got... There comes a time where you've had enough patience for these players.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing in midfield for Liverpool was that Wijnaldum was available for every game. And even if this year he wasn't going to play every game because Harvey Elliott was going to come through, or Curtis Jones, that annoyed me last year. Someone was like, oh, Curtis Jones is going to play more games. He played 33 league games last year. Didn't start them all, but he appeared in 33 league games.
Which is more than he should have done because of all the injuries that we had.
Yeah.
But
Curtis Jones played 33 league games, and Wijnaldum played 38. So you can't replace someone who played 38 games with someone who's only got another 5 to spare.
Yeah.
It's
madness, isn't it?
I'm a big fan of what's happened under Klopp at Liverpool, and Michael Edwards has done a great job with transfers, and I'm not as big an FSG critic as a lot of people are. But the season before last, not getting a centre-half in after we'd let Lovren go for whatever, and then the crisis happened. And to have an almost mirror image of it the year after, when every single fan could see that there was a hole in midfield. Mm. Everyone could see that there was. There wasn't a single... And if we're thinking it, the players in the squad are as well. They're not stupid. They know football on a higher level than we will ever do, sat behind here talking in a studio. They're looking, going, who's going to play these games?
Yeah.
You're going to get a 17-year-old kid to replace a 29-year-old midfielder who knows this system inside and out and recycles the possession and doesn't go forward and try and create like Harvey Elliott's going to do. What are we doing? They're going to be confused by it. Like, obviously, hindsight's 2020, and it's easy to say it now that everyone's injured. Not replacing Genie Wijnaldum or not giving him what it would take to keep him there was stupid.
I completely agree, by the way, but his counter for that, so you know, Adam's just mentioned not replacing Lovren, which we've done so far this season with Konate.
Yeah.
The season before, not everyone was clambering for a centre midfielder, but we bought Thiago. Mm. So, you know, have Liverpool been reactionary in the market instead of, you know, kind of proactive, a bit like Manchester United did with Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And maybe gone, why should we get Thiago while he's available? And he's actually the Gene replacement, but as Adam said, you can't foresee loads of injuries. And it's also, I agree with everything that Adam's just said, it's hard to say for a midfielder to come in, okay, Genie's gone, but actually, can you come and play for us? Or, by the way, you're competing with Keita, Milner, Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and all these players, and a player that's going to come in, it's a hard sell, because you're going to go, well, where's my game time?
No, absolutely, and I think what Adam said before about you're paying X amount plus the wage, it doesn't make mathematical sense to do that, and I am with Adam on that. I just think it's a bit stupid, especially with we got burnt by Lovren. So I just think, not by Lovren, by the Lovren situation, not replacing him. You're never going to find the right solution. The right solution was just to pay him the extra, and that's it.
Mm.
That was the right solution.
Yeah. Well, we haven't done that now.
Hopefully it's just a learning curve. But, you know, you go back to the summer of signing Thiago, was, you know, the Wijnaldum situation was still then. We'd won the league and people were still clamouring for him to go because they wanted to bring Thiago, because everyone was assuming it was one in, one out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, well, why can't we have both?
Yeah.
Because we're going to need both.
Thiago's not fit, ever. Like, if you look at Thiago's record at both Barcelona and Bayern Munich, this is not new. He isn't getting injuries with age. Thiago is a magnificent footballer to watch, where he gets 2 or 3 games in a row and whatever. You're never going to get 20 league games in a row out of Thiago.
And I suppose the football's not as intense as in Germany and Spain it is in the Premier League either, so he's got that to compete with as well. I was going to cheer things up a little bit, but the next question is, anyone that you feel has underperformed? Or someone that, how is someone you wanted expected a bit more from? And I suppose the direct answer is probably Oxlade-Chamberlain, because I think Adam, we saw, I keep referencing a pre-season game where he was like, he was on fire, he was everything, he was pumped, he was pressing, he looked fit, he looked like he was banged up for it, like a bit of a fight in him. And then we didn't see anything for ages. And then I feel sorry for him because he has like fits and starts. He looks like someone who feeds off rhythm, but also he's contributing to that lack of Gini Wijnaldum in that midfield. Like, he needs probably two people to do the defensive work so he can run loose and do his own thing. You're not picking on him here, by the way. If you've got another suggestion in there, go for it.
I think the Oxlade-Chamberlain situation is just a little bit sad now.
Yeah.
Like, he was phenomenal in that Champions League run a couple of years ago. You know, when we beat City and Roma on the way to losing the final. The injuries have got the better of him. And again, he's a player who's had injury problems his entire career at Arsenal. That's why it sort of didn't work out there. That's why he ended up playing right back at Arsenal, because they were like, you know, we don't really want you in on the wing because whatever. Yeah. It's
you know, the Moreno, when you want him to do well, you're like, come on, lad.
No.
It's gone past that for me. Like, it was that at first.
Yeah.
Whereas now, Oxlade-Chamberlain for me, and I don't like saying this because, you know, you always want to support the players you've got. It's sort of what you mentioned before. Oxlade-Chamberlain is in the way. When he's on the pitch, he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to beat two or three men and go to Jürgen, look, I can do that, no one else can do this, but he actually can't anymore because he's lost his legs and he's lost his confidence and all that stuff that goes with it and the things that were making him great a few years ago. And he's in the way of the wage bill that we're so tight with, and another player looking at our midfield and going, when am I going to play? Because Oxlade-Chamberlain is there. We've needed him the past couple of weeks because everyone else has fell.
Yeah.
But it would make so much more sense for Liverpool to let Oxlade-Chamberlain go and have a better, more capable midfielder. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain, I hate, because I really like him. And I loved him a few years ago. Like, he's the type of player I'd have got on the back of my shirt.
Yeah.
I think he needs to go down to the Championship.
Really?
Yeah.
To revive his career.
I think he'll shine.
Yeah.
I think it's just that stage now where, and it's not his fault, because technically I think he's a very, very gifted player. I just think injuries have got the better of his fitness and his, I think he'll be better at a league down.
Would you sell him in January or in the summer?
Sell him in January if we're getting someone in.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
I don't think, I'd probably agree with the dropping down a league, because I think he'd probably do a Lallana. You know what I mean? You go to a Brighton or someone like that where the level is still in the same league, because I still think he can do a job. But it's like what Adam said, he's playing by default at the minute because we've had so many injuries. You know, you said that the question was, has Ox been a disappointment this season? But I didn't expect anything of him anyway, because I didn't think he played as many games already.
Yeah. So he hasn't disappointed.
Yeah. He's just been, this is what I've expected of him, because you said about in pre-season, everyone looks good in pre-season, don't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember Christian Nemeth?
Yeah.
Thought he was the next freaking Torres.
Yeah.
You know, he looked great, but they never saw him play for Liverpool. So it's
Marco Grouch is an example of that.
Yeah.
Past pre-season.
You know what I mean? So I haven't expected anything from him. So to me, he's not disappointing me because he's right, he's doing that. And it's like what Adam says, it's just a shame now. I just feel for you.
For him. Another super chat from Trick Josh, £5. Thank you very much. He said, I didn't see the full match, Ross, but do you guys think Liverpool lost because of the absence of Firmino? I'm not going to tie it into that game, but obviously when we're talking about people that have maybe impressed us so far this season, Adam, I think Firmino has been one, before his injury, I think is someone who's benefited from a physical and mental rest, and we're seeing signs, and certainly his form, the way that he's playing, his confidence, he looks like he did look back to his best, didn't he?
He's looked really good. I said something in the summer, which I'll still stand by now. If Liverpool had another forward, which we don't, because I'm not counting Origi and Taki, because I think they're really decent squad options. But I'm talking about another player who can be pushing for a start, which neither of those are with the players that are in front of them. Mm-hmm. And they're never going to. Like, there's nothing they can do that will be even remotely close to putting them on level with Jota, Salah, Firmino and Mane. Mm-hmm. They're just not on the same level as players. If we had one more, who was? I would have looked at converting Firmino to an eight.
Yeah.
Because he's someone who is very physical, really good at retaining the ball, and really good at recycling possession. He does it as that false nine. He does the job that Wijnaldum's done here and feeds the ball to Salah and Mane, whereas Wijnaldum would feed it to whichever fullback he's covering, which was often on the left side of midfield.
Yeah.
I would like to see that happen. If Liverpool were to sign a forward and not a midfielder, and Firmino was put into midfield, because let's be honest, he is a striker, and as much as he's part of that, he doesn't score enough.
No.
He's scored a few more this year. He's been all right.
But he facilitates the other two, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I'd like to see that happen.
That's a good shout.
I agree.
Yeah.
I remember saying to you a couple of years ago, like when the Werner thing looked like it might be happening, like, but yeah, with that, and then Bobby can play in midfield. And we
not as a 10.
Exact reason? Yeah. No, as an 8. Yeah. Because how many times you see him where he's just like, all right, fuck this, I'm going getting it. Yeah. And he just goes into midfield and robs the ball.
You see shouts of it now when we're doing, like, obviously, predicted lines and stuff, and the 4-2-3-1 always comes out. Yeah. It's like, I'll put Bobby deep in.
Exactly.
Two.
Everyone's going to be fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him as deeper in a 4-2-3-1, though, because when he does that, him and the forward get in each other's way. Because
it's that spine, isn't it?
Yeah, our natural thing for our forward is to come deep and they literally just they get right in each other's way. I think Firmino is an eight.
Yeah.
To give him a new contract and put him in midfield as an eight.
Yeah.
I'm telling you there's something in that.
And also don't do the 4-2-3-1 because that you're spunking all your attacking options there, aren't you? And someone gets injured, then you've got nothing on the bench to kind of come through it. Final question before we move on to the Gerrard stuff and the manager stuff in the Premier League. Jay, I'll come to you with this one. There's obviously split opinion after the Brighton draw and the West Ham loss, to which people are just throwing out statements as facts of like the league's done, it's done and dusted. Can Liverpool still win the title?
Absolutely. We're 4 points off. Done.
Okay, so I'm thinking
of course we can, mate. Honestly, you know what I mean? I've been around long enough now to know that when I'm out the title race by November. How many times that happened to us in our lives since we've been growing up? It usually by this time we're going, right, Sam, that was a good little run, wasn't it? Done now. But this doesn't happen with this Liverpool side. We've got enough games left to close that gap. You've seen how competitive this league is. Crystal Palace beating City, Burnley grabbing a draw with Chelsea. It's an anomaly the last couple of weeks. We have been fantastic for weeks. This was always going to happen, having a drop-off. People need to stop thinking that the 19-20 Liverpool is going to carry on because something's got to give. A lot of it gave last year, but that is still in within this set. The nucleus of that era is still here.
Yeah.
And just, like I said, it's only November.
Yeah.
It's got plenty
of time.
Do you
think a lot of it's fair, Adam, in the sense of, like, you mentioned that 19-20 season there, but obviously Liverpool and City went toe-to-toe and the standard, like, when we were growing up, to win a league, 82 points, 84 points, whatever, and it just went, oh, you've got to get 97, 98, 100 points. As soon as we drop points, people go, well, that's it, it's fucked because we need to get as many points. But as Jay just rightly said, I had a Chelsea and a City fan around the league yesterday. Their fan base faces are the same. Like, your rivals can drop points. Do we concentrate too much on us and what's going on? Not look around and go, actually, Man City can drop points left, right and centre. Chelsea are capable of doing it as well and just, like, calm down a little bit maybe.
But I think that's not just with Liverpool fans.
No, you're ready.
Yeah.
Chelsea and City fans are also going, we're fucking drawn with Burnley, we're fucked here.
Yeah.
Right? Because that level that Liverpool and City have took the Premier League to in the past few years is now the benchmark. Mm-hmm. That's how you win a league title in this era.
Yeah.
So that's why people are getting worried. Can Liverpool still win the league? Yeah. However, we're not favourites at the minute. Chelsea are.
Yeah.
Because that draw against Burnley, Chelsea...
They could have lost that game as well, by the way. Burnley should have scored in the fucking last minute.
Yeah, but they also should have probably won 5-1.
Paul did well, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, the thing is, Chelsea look... They look like a machine at the minute. And I said when Tuchel went there, they're the perfect marriage because they're all horrible. Mm-hmm. He's horrible and they're horrible and everything's horrible. And when horrible things come together, horrible things happen. So... I'm scared of Chelsea, and then they've already won the Champions League, which, you know, that puts a chip on your shoulder like it did with us.
Yeah.
Chelsea are favourites for me. Like, it's not just can we catch 4 points. We've now got to get 5 more points than this Chelsea side over the rest of the season. It's not that they will drop points, and yeah, they will drop 4 more points, but will we drop more than that?
Yeah.
So it's difficult, and I think as it was a few years ago, I think Liverpool's best chance for good silverware this season lies in Europe.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
Oh, I would be disappointed with that.
And I suppose the thing that kind of plays into this, I know we drew with Brighton and lost to West Ham, Jay, but I think it's people's minds going like, oh, we conceded three against Brentford, we're obviously Atletico, AC Milan, and the midfield that we kind of spoke about, we don't look at like at our complete best, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen.
Absolutely. I mean, look at 13-14, how bad our defence was. We'll just score more than you. You know what I mean? That's the attitude. But yeah, our defence is not what it used to be. But that me saying that now just sounds like horrendous, but it's not. But, you know, Van Dijk's coming back from a lengthy injury. Matic's coming back. We spoke about that already. It'll come. It really will. But again, we're so lucky that the squad, the forwards are firing. But I just think it's a bit of a placebo effect as well. Like, if we were playing that West Ham game at 12:30 or on the Friday night and we'd lost, right? And then it's like everyone else dropped points. It'd be like, oh, well, at least everyone else dropped points. But because like we had dropping of points and then it was a case of, right, we need to capitalise on this now and we were the last game, it makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
But flip it. Yeah. Lose first, then watch your rivals drop points. It'd be like, oh, well, they dropped points, so it's all right. And you wouldn't have that amount of negativity, and I'm absolutely sure of that. Yeah. But again, it's not that the end of the world. We've seen worse.
Final question on this, Adam, before we move on. We've got Liverpool's fixtures up here, obviously post-international break. We start with Arsenal at home. Then we've got Porto at home, Southampton at home, Everton away, Wolves away, AC Milan away, Aston Villa at home. I want to concentrate on those two Champions League games because Liverpool obviously qualified top of the group.
I should be playing.
That was your next question. Because Klopp came out and said, oh, there's people travelling away and all this stuff. Like, he has to say that. He's not going to come out and go, I'm going to play the fucking kids, is he? But in that sense, because of how tight the league is and we're already through.
Should go to the fringe players, Origi, Taki.
It's not a bad side. Canate.
No. Okay. He should go to them. Do you want this game time?
Yeah.
You can have it if you want. Yeah? No? No? Yeah? No? Right, cool. We've got four of these want to play, and we need a 23-man squad to go? 19 children then, please. Pep, you're taking them. I can't be asked. There should be zero effort. We've won the group. They're pointless. We did this last year. We were qualified. We played Jota. He got injured. He was out for ages.
3 months, yeah.
Bollocks to it. They don't mean anything. The games are fruitless. There's nothing in it for us apart from potential pain. What are we talking about? What's he talking about?
Yeah.
If Mohamed Salah, Mane, Fabinho, Van Dijk, Alisson, Trent, if any of them play in those games, even a minute of football, he should be hauled in for a meeting. It's insane. There's nothing to talk about here. He doesn't play them in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
And that is... there's something to play for there.
Yeah.
Like, not something great, but there's something.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose the only counter, Jay, is the monetary value, which Klopp said, like, you get like $2.5 million for winning the game, but also to counter that, you get a lot more for coming fucking first in the Premier League, which is what we should be going for.
Exactly, mate. And imagine we don't bid for a player because we've not got £2 million, and then everyone would be like, well, Klopp should have played. We should have won those last two groups. We would have had the extra £2 million. You're never going to win this argument. But I agree with what Adam said. You take your third string team over there because you don't want to get your ass bitten like it was last year. So I'm with Adam. Just
I want players on that bench that nobody has heard of, including the scouting team.
Just follow people from fucking the Milan airport. We're going to give you free tonight, mate. Come on.
We don't get in these situations often. We've won the group by now. We don't. And what's just happened in the last two league games, we need to even more now not play certain players in those games. Because I said I think it was on the Umbu last week, if you get through these games, you've got the ability to sort of like, because you've had those extra points, you've got a little bit of a cushion.
That's what you work for, Council. You said it yesterday on the final workshop. We've fucking done our job. You win your four games, so you get the advantage of rotation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll let us know what you do in the comments below. We thought it'd be a bit of interest.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoyed this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Red Men TV experience in your ears. TheRedMenTV.com. Sign up there today.
Just got a little quick advert to show you our Christmas jumpers, which we have released. There's probably about a handful of the knitted ones left if you want one of those. But we've released a Feliz Nabi Lab one, which is absolutely flown out the box.
I've got the reds are coming up the L.
Have you? Yeah, okay, that's a little homage to the Coca-Cola advert there, and there's a Klopp Believer one there as well, which is kind of like a Carlsberg one. So do get your orders in for them soon. And of course, we've got the Accrued sweatshirt as well.
That's the best one.
The Accrued one. That's I thought you might say that. Get your orders in as soon as you can, because obviously there's a backlog of orders. We need to get them printed and get them shipped out. These are obviously international. We need to get them to you as soon as possible as well. There'll be a link in the description and in the live chat for that as well. Gerrard to Aston Villa. Adam, there's been a spout of Premier League sackings. Obviously, Norwich sacked the manager, Aston Villa, Watford, Newcastle. I feel like I'm missing one out. No, maybe. Obviously, Eddie Howe's gone to Newcastle. Man United was the one of Spurs sat their manager and got someone else in. Man United aren't doing it, which we're all fine with, by the way.
I'm convinced Spurs only did that to beat United. 100%,
because the week before, when we twatted Man United 5-0, Conte was being linked to Manchester United and Spurs shit the bed and gone, fuck it, he's gone, we'll get him in, you can't get him, which is absolutely glorious.
You feel sorry for Nuno a little bit, I'll be honest. And not to go off a tangent, mate, you feel a little bit sorry for him.
I feel sorry for him because you have to deal with a Harry Kane in that situation.
That's what I mean,
we covered that.
He's been there for 3 months and one of those months he won Manager of the Month.
It's mental, isn't it?
It is sad, but it's also funny.
They beat Man City without Harry Kane there as well, which tells you all you need to know in that situation. Anyway, Gerrard to Aston Villa, as it stands, his favourite to take over at Aston Villa, unless something's happened while we're doing that. Can you see him taking that job, or do you think he's going to stay at Rangers until like the end of the season? Doesn't strike me as someone who'll jump ship.
No. It's such a weird one.
Sorry, 2004, 2005, just flat.
But he didn't do it.
No, I know. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. maybe he'll really think about it, and then he'll get a letter in the post from someone.
When he starts setting fire to Rangers shirts, I changed my mind. You know what I'm going to say.
Right, he's in a great position to win the Scottish Premier League again this year.
Yep.
Right, which would be another managerial trophy under his belt.
Yep.
Villa, on the face of it, is a bigger job. It's a Premier League team. It's a chance to prove himself in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. But it's so high risk. Like, I think at the minute, there's two people in the running to replace Jürgen Klopp, and it's Pep Linders and Steven Gerrard when he decides his time at Liverpool is up. And that's with what he's done at Rangers and the fact that he's a Liverpool legend, right?
Yeah.
That's why he's in the running for that job. I don't know what he could possibly do with Aston Villa that will give him a better chance at the Liverpool job, which, let's be honest, is what he wants.
But does he not need to prove himself in the Premier League?
I don't think he does.
No, I agree with Adam. I think the writing's on the wall. I mean, for me, I want someone who is Premier League proven and can do that, because the last thing I want is for what happened to Lampard, happened to Gerrard, where they just threw him in, Chelsea legend, and it just didn't work. I'd hate that to happen, because the last thing I want is rival fans giving Gerrard shit for it not working out at Liverpool, and it would break my heart if it didn't work out for him.
That's what bothers me, is the fact that I don't want it to be like Ollie or Lampard and going too soon. Like, I get Rangers, an incredible job, but for me, it's go somewhere else for a few years rather than just... I don't think we're going off nostalgia, because he's doing a really good job, and I think the way he carries himself, his media presence and the way how authoritative he is in those things, and he's got the players playing for him, it's a tough challenge in Scotland, but for me it's go somewhere else first.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
In a sense, but I don't think he can do that with a mid-table Premier League team. I don't know what he can do with Villa that will go, he's ready for the Liverpool job. Oh, he got Villa to ninth. Great.
But you not need to go through different challenges as a manager rather than just going to a team and you immediately challenging for a title. That Villa side should be doing a lot better than it is, by the way. I know they lost Jack Grealish, but they replaced it with, what was it, Buendia, Danny Ings, and the fellow at Everton were after. I can't remember his name.
They haven't played very many minutes together. I know Dean Smith was apparently quite sort of defensive of his job when he got fired. He was like, the players we've bought haven't even had time to fucking play together yet. I think Gerrard needs to go to Inter or Atletico when Simeone's, but like, he needs to get a decent job abroad if he's going to go anywhere else before he comes to Liverpool, because he's not going to go to a big Liverpool rival. I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he'd go to Chelsea.
No.
I don't think he'd go to United or City or anything. I also don't think he's going to get offered those jobs anyway. I don't know what I'm just going to keep repeating myself. I don't know what he can do with a Villa or Newcastle obviously Newcastle might be about to spend billions if they can get around financial fair play like City have. Little dig there for anyone.
At least they'll have a full stadium, no.
I don't know what he can do with those sides. If he went to Brighton when Potter gets a decent job because he's doing really well there, I don't know what he can do.
What's the difference then between when we do this with young, inexperienced players like a Harvey Elliott and we go, well, actually, he could benefit from a loan and getting some more experience. Why is that different for a manager? Or is it because he's doing...
There's more pressure. There's more pressure on the manager, isn't there?
He's why are we saying Steven Gerrard should go to another Premier League club to gain some more experience in the Premier League? And he's got different things to learn on the job, do it on someone else's watch rather than ours, because there's no guarantee of success.
Because a player can shine in a bad team. A manager can't shine with a bad team.
True.
Harvey Elliott can go into a team that's losing every week and look brilliant.
Yeah.
A manager can't go and manage a team that's losing every week and look like he knows what he's doing.
Gary Neville.
Gerrard is like, when legally you have to advertise a job externally, don't you? But yeah, you've already picked your internal job, so three or four people
don't
come in for an interview.
About,
but three or four people come in for an interview and, oh, I didn't get it. Someone internally got it and you go, oh, shock.
Yeah.
Gerrard's like that now. When Klopp leaves, is there going to be anybody that you would say right now, if Klopp left tomorrow, is there anybody above Steven Gerrard who would be in the running?
Pep Linders, maybe.
Yeah.
And that depends on the working to Liverpool at the time, yeah.
Internally, absolutely. And you class Gerrard as an internal, wouldn't you, because he's part of the club. But there's nobody else who's being discussed about potential replacement. No one's saying, oh, well, Rodgers has done really well. Maybe he'll come back for the second stint.
Diego Simeone's contract expires in 2024 as well, by the way.
I would literally rather stop watching football.
It's a given that man's going to get the job. Now, let's just have a look, because maybe it comes to the time at 2024, they go, right, let's give it to Pep Linders because he's been brilliant, second in command, he deserves that chance. And I do like when clubs do that. And then in that meantime, Gerrard gets another job somewhere else and then comes to Liverpool. Mm. I do think you need to do it in another league. But whether he does something in the Championship, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of suggestions in YouTube comments here saying go to a German club first and go get some experience in that league. Gerrard to Dortmund, which I think is quite a nostalgic thing.
Adam said go abroad.
Yeah. If he was to manage in the Premier League, Adam, how would you feel about it? Say he went to Aston Villa, for example, would you be like...
Okay. I mean, you've got to just understand it, haven't you? Like, it's
a bit of bitterness. Because I don't think there's anything to Rafa Benitez, really. It's like, well, I'll back your support. I'll not support Everton.
I was more bothered when Rafa went to Chelsea than I was when he went to Everton.
Yeah.
That felt like more of a betrayal if there was one. Yeah, like I wouldn't be bothered as long as he doesn't go to United or Chelsea.
Mm.
They're the two that Gerrard can't manage. He could manage Arsenal and I'd be like, all right, fine. Just get better so that you can come here.
Yeah, exactly.
In a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, as long as it's not a rival.
Yeah.
Just not a rival.
Is the ideal situation here, Adam, that Klopp takes a sabbatical? Because he looks like he needs a break to me. He's just done because there's obviously loads and loads of football. He takes a sabbatical. Linders takes the lead for a year. Gerrard goes somewhere else, gets his experience, then Klopp comes back and we're all happy. It's like the ideal situation.
I mean, it's not going to happen, is it?
Let me have this.
Klopp is not going to take a break and then go, hey, love what you've done to play, I'll come back. It's just not going to happen, is it?
So
you can have your little fantasy when it's late at night and it's just you in your dark room, but that's just not going to happen. Klopp has sort of, he's sort of teased us a bit that I might want to stay for a bit. I think he's gone in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I think at most you might get another year or two out of him. If he goes, look, we're not finished here and I want this to be done before I go. That might happen, but we need to plan for him going in 2024. It's going to be horrendous. There's going to be a year or two of, oh, what the fuck? This is not the same.
Yeah.
And whichever manager comes in has got to be given a bit of time because we're not going to compete for the title that year. Klopp goes, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to prepare for it. I think Klopp's going to take a little bit of time off and then he's going to go and manage the German national team. And I don't think that's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. But in that sense, would you want Gerrard to take over him then? Because he's ultimately going to be like, I mean this in the nicest possible way, in the situation that the David Moyes of Liverpool incentive, you're going to be a fall guy, aren't you?
Yeah, but the ethos that Klopp has built is ingrained into Pep Linders. So if Pep Linders got the job, nothing will really change apart from there'll be less hugging. But you never know. Pep Linders might be a good hugger. I don't know. You know, I might be training him on that. You never know. But if Gerrard comes in, the same sort of ethos of, you know, the will to win and all that will still come. I don't think Gerrard will be as cuddly with his players as what Klopp is. I think Gerrard's a bit more of an hard ass, I'll be honest. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's something that some of the players might need come 2024. But I do think that whatever Klopp started, this needs to be taken on the same way it's done from Shanks and Paisley. It's that same era. You look at the YouTube footage of when it was the news broke about Shankly leaving and they went out into the public and everyone's like, you're joking. Like, no one believed him because it's like, shit, what are we going to do now? And we got Paisley. That ethos needs to carry on because what's ingrained in the club now needs to continue from manager to manager to manager. Because it got, that chain got broken once.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names, but we all know who that was come the early 90s. You know, no offence, but it needs to stop and that needs to carry on again.
I don't necessarily want Steven Gerrard to be the next manager. I don't know who I want to be the next manager, but I think he's going to be.
Yeah. There's a comment here, Adam. I'm not sure I can get behind this comment. He says, take pressure down our Klopp by getting Stevie G and they can work together. I don't see any world in which Steven Gerrard comes in as like a coach or an assistant.
That is an 11-year-old child. Okay. I refuse to answer him.
I would say look for the VHS of the time of Evans and Julien and see how that worked.
Oh, yeah. I think we've got something upstairs. Yeah,
just two great people, but it just didn't work.
Stupid. That's a stupid thing to say. It's stupid.
Yeah. I agree.
Stupid.
Okay, you've upset Adam now. Let's talk about some of the other sackings that have kind of gone. Obviously, Norwich got rid of Daniel Farker, Adam. Were you surprised at that? And also, the Dean Smith and the Farker stuff, it feels like it was premeditated. Like, there's an international break. It's a good time to kind of. It's never got time to sack someone. It's got time for a change, I suppose, isn't it? Because you get the 2 weeks break. But it feels like because of the clamour for managers that are probably out there, which is probably limited. I think Lampard's been linked with Norwich, obviously Gerrard with Aston Villa. It feels like they pulled the trigger at the same time, and now it's going to be a fight for managers going about. Were you surprised that Norwich pulled the trigger when they did? Or were you surprised that Farker lasted as long as he did?
I think Farker's a very popular figure at Norwich, actually, because there's a lad I know who's a Norwich fan, and he really likes him and he doesn't really get it. I do get it because I think, you know, Norwich, you know, they were quite limp last time they were in the Premier League and then they've gone down to the Championship, bounced back up in decent fashion. But this Norwich team...
are about to bounce back down again, aren't they?
Well, they look exactly the same as they did last time they were in the Premier League, which is they're just getting twatted every week. Like, they just look easy to beat. They're going to go down.
Yeah.
And the only way that that can be changed maybe is with a change of manager. So I think Daniel Farke's probably a decent manager. I think maybe he probably isn't suited to relegation battles. Some managers aren't. I don't think Pep Guardiola could keep a team up. I don't even know if Jurgen Klopp could.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain managers suited to certain jobs.
What about Frank Lampard? Who's the thing that's been linked?
He needs to tell BT to keep his seat warm. I think Norwich will, especially if they get Lampard, will absolutely go down.
Yeah.
The Dean Smith thing, again, I know a lot of Villa fans and a few of them have been like, we love him, but yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, now Jay, the availability of managers that are out there, Man United having the same problem. And it's fucking mad that part of the reason Ollie's still in the job is because there's nobody else out there. Tottenham are taking Conte off them, as Adam said before.
Yeah.
But all these other clubs, we'll be looking around now. Eddie Howe's off the table, who's probably one of their decent manager. I'm not sure whether he could keep someone up because he plays attacking football, which Norwich might like.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's off the table. And I can't really think of anyone else who's out there without going through the whole Sam Allardyce and, you know, the Neil Warnock and all on all those.
For Norwich?
Yeah. Or any of these clubs, there's no managers.
I don't know why you want to take that job. I know, no disrespect to the people of Norwich, but I can't be asked going there all the time. You know what I mean?
Famous for being a pain in the ass to get to and Alan Partridge.
And I've got to put up with D'Lo Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't be asked for that. Same way I wouldn't work for West Ham, Cameron Brady. Can't be asked for that either.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for him. But I think the United situation is quite interesting because if you look at the odds now, it's Rodgers. Rodgers' job. That's who they want. You know, one of my best friends in the world is a massive Man United fan, and he says, I want Rodgers. He's done really well. You know, Rodgers...
I thought last time I was here, Rodgers going to Man United terrifies me.
Yeah.
But I thought he turned down Man United because he wants a chance at Man City when Pep goes.
No. Don't know. Has he come out and said that?
I think, no. It's on the internet, so it must have been.
Oh, it must have been true then.
If Rodgers gets offered the United job, he'll take it. I've got this sneaking little feeling, you know, that Rodgers... is a boyhood Man United fan. Never heard that from anywhere.
He's Northern Irish, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that your tenuous link?
Northern Irish.
It's Northern Irish, and as much as he wanted to succeed at Liverpool, there was never a real emotional connection there. And I'm...
Someone in the comments got on his Wikipedia page now.
I'm telling you, I've never heard that from anywhere, but I've always just had a little...
Do you think that would happen this season?
This season? I think United are going to stick with Ollie till the end of the year. Not at the end of the season, not the end of the year.
I think I was right. It happens. I was quite shocked that Rodgers left Celtic during the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't he?
To go. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did leave Leicester, but I think he's got that good of a relationship with the owner and the what he's done recently.
Oh, hang on. Whoa. I think Rodgers would absolutely leave tomorrow and go to Manchester United. That's not what I'm saying.
I know what you meant.
He is one to jump ship, by the way.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I think there might be just something in place now where he just goes, Ollie till the end of the year, then get Rodgers in.
Yeah. I think United have sort of written this season off now. But Rodgers will win things with them.
Cannot see Ronaldo being United manager.
Paul was saying that.
He's now the winner.
He is now.
He may as well be.
Paul Machen was saying that last time I was here. I don't think that's going to happen. No. I think they go for Brendan Rodgers, and I think he takes the job, and I think it's another Tuchel Chelsea. They'll win stuff, and it's horrible things happening to horrible people, and horrible things are going to come.
Well, for now, let's just wallow in their misery and everyone else's misery at sacking managers.
I realise that's
not our problem, and Liverpool are actually having a good season. Only a couple of points off top, qualified in the Champions League through to the next stages. Things aren't as bad as you think. Thank you both very much. I enjoyed that. Make sure you go and check out Have a Word podcast and get on Adam's tour. Where can you buy tickets from, Adam?
adamrowe.co.uk/shows.
It's as easy as that. It's not easy because I bought the wrong ones. But did it when I was struck, so it's fine. We'll be back shortly. Paul and Chris will be back later on this week. They're traveling back now and they'll have a bit of jet lag. So they should be back for Journal Insight with Neil Jones. Don't forget to check out the 3-month subscription of Redmen TV. Use the code Redmen Plus and you can have a 3-month on us. We'll see you very shortly. Sarah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.